and where God had put his hand on him and said, "You are my son, with whom I'm well pleased." So God had shown a huge amount of love for Jesus, declaring that the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days. He hadn't started on his public ministry, and I think that is significant, that he went into the wilderness to spend time with God. God was his father, he knew God, but still he took that time of preparation before going, starting on his public preaching, healing ministry, before even he went out and chose his disciples. He went and spent time with God. And during this time, he experienced temptation by Satan. So Lent concludes with Easter. During this time, traditionally, many Christians have undertaken Lenten sacrifices. For example, committing to fasting, giving up certain luxuries in order to remind themselves of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ's journey into the desert for 40 days. Many Christians undertake a Lenten spiritual discipline, fasting, studying the Bible or praying, drawing themselves closer, nearer to God. Lent was traditionally a time for those set aside, for those preparing for baptism on Easter Eve. These people would, as part of their final preparation, leave behind all the things of the world, all those things that got in their way of their relationship with God. They spent time in fasting, in prayer, serving the poor, and other disciplines of Christian life. So the purpose of Lent is the preparation of the believer for Easter through prayer, doing penance, repentance of sins, giving to others, and denial of self. Christians and many others who don't profess a faith often choose to give up specific pleasures during Lent, such as sweets, alcohol, chocolate, to foster simplicity and self-control. Many using their cravings and desires for these items as a reminder to pray and to refocus on spiritual matters. So that's all really good, knowing the what and why and some of the how. But how does this impact on us? What is our response? How are we going to prepare for Easter? Can I suggest that the first thing we could do is to bring to God all those things that we've been aware of that are wrong in our lives. Things that we may have done wrong, or things that we're not doing that we should be doing. I don't know about you, but my great-grandmother taught me really about Shrove Tuesday. I have a very clear picture. She died when I was about 9, but I have a very clear picture of her explaining to me about Shrove Tuesday and why we have pancakes, and that we use everything in the cupboard traditionally, and we clear out the cupboard in preparation for Lent. And I think this is quite a good picture of us coming before God, clearing out the cupboard, asking God for cleansing. The psalm reading was Psalm 51, where David asked God for cleansing when he was convicted of his wrong. We can ask God to convict us of those things which are wrong in our lives. We do that because, yes, they're wrong, but really out of a desire to have a clean heart. That's what God promises to David. He will give him a clean heart, a steadfast spirit, and that he will be restored to God. God will grant us this if we ask him. He will clean us and he will wash us as white as snow. We haven't got snow today to remind us, but we've got the rain as an illustration of the washing. Psalm 51, David asks God for a number of things. He asked to be restored to the joy of his salvation, to be granted a pure heart and willing spirit in order to sustain him, to enable him to do what God had for him to do, and to be able to open his lips to declare God's praise, to be thankful. We may not willingly want to ask for a broken spirit and a contrite heart, but that is the sacrifice that God asks of us. So this is our first aspect of our response to Lent, to ask for a broken spirit and contrite heart. Let's think about the example of Jesus now in our approach to Lent. Jesus went into the wilderness with a willing spirit, and I'm sure he came close to God, and he asked for those things which are identified in Psalm 51, to have the joy of his salvation, a willing spirit, open lips to declare his praise, and ultimately a willingness to be that sacrifice for us, delivered on the cross. For Jesus, the 40 days in the wilderness and the fasting and the testing he experienced was a preparation of what was to come, for what was to come. Immediately after this, Jesus starts his teaching and preaching, calls the disciples, and begins his healing. We move pretty much straight on in Matthew to the Sermon on the Mount. The wilderness was a preparation where he spent time alone with God, away from the distractions of life, away from other people. He learnt to resist the temptations that were thrown at him. Those temptations were to satisfy his own hunger, to test God, and to gain power. And he did this by quoting scripture. He quoted from Isaiah when he was tempted to break his fast and take the bread, and then from Deuteronomy when he was tempted to test God and to take power for himself. So he quoted scripture. Scripture showed him God's character and loving care for him. It helped to protect him against Satan's lies and resist the temptation when it came. And at the end of that passage in Matthew, after the battles and temptations that he'd been through, then came the blessings of angels to attend to him before he went out to start his ministry. So what do we learn from Jesus' example? He withdrew himself. He focused and immersed himself in scripture. When he was tested, he responded with scripture and resisted and allowed God to minister to him. He received a willing spirit to sustain him for the work to come. So how can we apply this in our own lives through Lent? If Shrove's Tuesday is a day for clearing out the cupboard, confessing all those things which are wrong, then Ash Wednesday is a serious day for inner reflection and self-examination. Ash Wednesday encourages us to look at the pattern of our lives, to make space for God, to re-engage once more, or to engage for the first time with prayer and studying God's word. As we move towards Ash Wednesday this week, here are some suggestions that hopefully you will find helpful and that will be achievable through Lent. The first is to remove the distractions for some part of the day. I don't know what those distractions are for you, but that could be social media, your phone constantly messaging, people around you, the phone, the TV, the radio. Let's set aside some part of the day to spend time with God and put aside those distractions. The second is to read scripture. Jesus immersed himself in scripture, and we can equip ourselves too, so if and when the temptations come, then we are ready. Lent books can be very helpful if you have that time available. I've just got a few samples here. So this is one for this year called You Are Mine. They're fairly easy and short, 2, 3, 4 pages to read with the scripture in there and some reflection. It gives a structure to the day and your time with God and preparing us as we move towards Easter. So if you want to come and chat with me afterwards and have a look at these, then you might find them useful. And also there's some special Bible reading notes which cover the period of Lent. So if you've never tried Bible reading notes, again, they're probably shorter than the book. There's only a page with the scripture. So if you haven't got so much time and you want to get into reading the Bible more regularly, those can be helpful. So come and talk to me afterwards and have a look at those. So the third thing, having some silence. When we spend time with God, it's good to just be silent. We're often wrapped up with activity, both individually and in the church. There are lots of things to do. We can be focused on what we do rather than who we are in Christ. Do we fill our lives with busyness defined by what we do rather than who we are? I read a quote which said, "If the devil can't make us really bad, then he'll try to make us really busy." Can we take time during Lent to retreat to our wilderness for a period of time each day? Take time out to spend with God. Listen, enjoy the silence. Don't fill that silence with requests and supplications, just listen. Maybe think of a word or a phrase to focus on, a verse of scripture that's special to you. Be fed by God, let him speak to you. Don't try to do anything, but just be. Have some silence and see how God speaks to you. And fourthly and lastly, be realistic about what you can do. Make it into a habit and sustain it. Do what you can and be intentional about that. I read something about somebody who wanted to learn to play the piano. Great ambitions, I'm going to sit down, spend an hour each day. Of course, that motivation was there for a week and then drifted off and then nothing. And they were saying that actually it's good to think about the 2-minute rule to make a habit. Actually, if you want to learn to play the piano, could you commit to doing 2 minutes each day? Well, that probably is achievable. Sitting down, I know we've got 2 piano teachers in the room, so I may be wrong about this, but it can be, if you want to write a book, if you've got a sentence, you have to start somewhere, don't you? Just write a sentence. So doing something for 2 minutes, we pretty much all could commit to that, couldn't we? And sustaining that every day. And actually then we might find, actually, I want to sit down and play for 20 minutes because I'm really enjoying that. So doing what we can, little and often, make the habit an actual habit. Meditating for an hour maybe is at the start when you have motivation, but it's difficult to sustain. If we can take some baby steps and get started, that's the most important part. It's not about how well or how long or how perfectly you do this, but just that you do it consistently every day and that we keep it going. Don't try and make it perfect, but make it achievable for you. What is achievable for you? It might be half an hour is achievable, but it might be 10 minutes or 2 minutes. Each of us is different. But give up that time willingly, and God will honour that sacrifice. Remember the widow's mite. She had very little to give, but she gave what she had willingly, and God honoured that. God will honour what you can do honestly and wholeheartedly if you do that. What are you going to commit? I have a poem that sums this up well, I think. It's not attributed to anyone. It's anonymous. Too busy not to pray. I was so busy today, I had no time to kneel and pray. No time to hear of someone's need. No time to do a good deed. No time to read the Bible. No time to be idle. No time to sing a hymn. No time until the day became dim. Now, what was I to do? Things troubled me all the day through. I was unable to get my work done. The day now was not fun. I let my work stop for today. I took time to kneel and pray. I took time to smile. Things went better in a while. I took time to think of Jesus and of all he has done for us. I thought of the cross and Calvary. I am so thankful. He has time for me. So why Lent? A preparation for Easter. A time to set aside, to spend time with God, to allow him to speak to us. Come with an open heart. Ask God to cleanse you, to bless you. Let us expect God to speak to us. We want to get to know God more. He will transform us. Let us give him what time we have, whether little or long time, but commit to doing it every day. Make it a habit and allow God to speak to you. God is never too busy for us. He will honour our sacrifices given with a broken and contrite heart. And he will send his angels to come and attend us. Amen.